Our scripture lesson today is taken from the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 19 through 30. Before we hear the words of this familiar story, let's start with a time of prayer. Holy God, open us to your Spirit, that as scripture is spoken and your word proclaimed, your grace may transform, clothe, form, and sustain us, that we may bear the fruit of your perfect love to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." Excuse me. "Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God,
in your love and grace, to be committed to you in service of those you have called us to, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this Sunday, we are beginning our new stewardship campaign for 2020 entitled All In, Going All In. And I'm going to just give you a little peek ahead of time. Our pledge cards are going to be hands this year. I'm excited. And hopefully on the last Sunday, we're all going to be able to put our hands in together and do some kind of fun cheer. I'm excited about that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I stole this from another church, my buddy Jason. Y'all know Jason. And I love the idea, but when I think about the phrase "all in," my brain goes straight to the poker table. Back in my seminary days, where I and several of my now respectable fellow students would utter this phrase at least a few times a night. And when a player in Texas Hold'em poker declares all in, they are committing the rest of their poker chips to that one hand. And now a poker player, right, will do this for a couple reasons. When you're playing poker, you do this because, one, you're completely desperate. And you're about to lose all your chips. And you might as well just throw them all in because hopefully you'll double up. Or you're trying to indicate to the other players how committed you are to this hand. It's kind of like saying, hey, y'all need to stay away from this because I have a monster hand. Or three, you're bluffing and you're trying to convince the other players that their hand is too weak to call their bluff. Now, I'm sure many of you came to church Sunday not knowing that you were going to get education in poker today, but I do think that this idea of going all in at the poker table, that when we think about it, especially when you're playing, it can be incredibly wise or profoundly dumb, depending on which hand you have committed to. So while I did not choose this campaign based on my very limited poker experience, it is a perfect metaphor, I think, for all of our lives as stewards of God's good gifts. What are we committing all of our chips to? Where are we all in? And to what and to whom are we all in? What do we value over all things? And how might we better commit ourselves to the values of Jesus Christ, who showed us the way of humility, grace, and love? Being all in is not a half measure, it is a full measure. So how can we as Christians make full measures in restoring the dignity of all human beings and putting aside worshiping idols of our own making? And by making a commitment to our neighbors, that makes it possible for us all to flourish and thrive. My promise to you is that as your pastor, this is the work that First Presbyterian Church is committed to. And my hope is that by your giving your time, your money, your energy this year and for the years forward, that it will allow this church to continue in this essential work, work that we are already doing, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of liberation and restoration to all those we encounter. So if we could be all in on this work, we might have to start watching out for fiery furnaces that people want to throw us into. So let's keep this concept of being all in our minds for a minute as we approach this famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ann and I, when we were living in Indiana, we had a guy who worked at the church she worked at. His name was Shadrach. I love that. I loved Shadrach. He was a very sweet guy. Wasn't he a sweet guy? He was a very sweet guy. I just wish more people were named Shadrach, I guess. That's what I'm going for here. Now, Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego were three men who refused to bow down to the bloated egotism of a raving mad king. Okay? The king's name was Nebuchadnezzar. From now on, we are going to call him King Nebi. Okay? So we're committed to King Nebi as his nickname. And to get why Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did was so powerful, we have to understand the backstory, which we did with the kids. The book of Daniel takes place after the exile to Babylon, right? And when many Jewish people were taken to Babylon, and Daniel was one of those people. He is the main character of the book. And he found King Nebi's favor after he interpreted a very troubling dream that Nebi had kept having. And so now Daniel had the king's ear, and he asked the king to appoint Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Jewish young men, to oversee the province of Babylon. So it's one of these small provinces. And at some point, After this, King Nebi gets into his head that he needs more praise and affirmation. Not enough people are worshiping his name. He doesn't have enough people committed to him. And so he says, well, you know, how am I going to get more people to praise me? I'm going to build a giant golden statue. And then I'm going to command all my officials to come from every empire of all the entire empire of Babylon and worship this amazing thing that I created. Now, if you read the whole story, you start to realize that there's some parody going on here. Clearly, Daniel, the author of Daniel, is trying to make fun of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we know this because the statue is described as 60 cubits tall and 6 cubits wide. So a cubit was about 1.5 feet. And so we have a statue that was 90 feet tall by 6 feet wide. Super tall and super skinny. And a statue that you could imagine would have been very easy just to push right over. So it's kind of a grotesque kind of statue, right? And the author makes a point by naming all the titles of the Babylonian officials, satraps, prefects, governors, and beyond. And they all come and they all bow down before this golden statue. But that wasn't enough for old King Nebi. In order to satisfy his ego, he needs everyone to bow down and worship this grotesque statue. So he has his herald go and make a decree that anybody who can hear the music from the dedication service, the sound of the horn, the lyre, the harp, and the drum, they too must come to the worship service and fall down and worship the statue, or else you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. So what happens? Nebi finds out that three of his leaders of province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not only show up to the service, they are actually going to refuse to bow down before this absurd statue. And this is where our story begins from our scripture, with the distorted face of King Nebi, all upset, and his order to increase the heat of the furnace by 7 times. Remember in Revelation, 7 is a holy number, the number of completeness. And so even Shadrach and Meshach, if you increase the heat of the furnace by 7 times, I think King Nebi hoped that even their dust would burn, right? That was the point here. They would just be erased from existence. And we know it's really hot because the guards that carry Shadrach and Meshach to the furnace, they actually get close enough before they throw them in, they die too. So the king is even willing to throw away some of his best guards. And they should have died instantly, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But like Bruce Willis and every action movie star before him and after him, Meshach, and you can almost like hear the music. Do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, with an angel of the Lord standing right next to him, and the fire blaze. And y'all have seen the action movie. You've seen where they're always running out of, right, like some kind of explosion happens behind them, and either the superheroes, you know, the action hero is like either jumping or just kind of like do 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 do. This is the most action movie that the Bible gets, by the way. This is so exciting. You can see it in your head. And what happens? Oh my gosh. King Nebi loses his mind. He goes, oh, this is the second time, by the way, in the book that this happens. Nebi just goes, okay, you got me. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to say that anybody who doesn't respect your God is going to be killed, because clearly there's no other God that can do what this God just did. So at its base level, this is a story about allegiances. about where and when we go all in. The governors, the prefects, the justices of Babylon, through their actions, revealed that they were all in on King Nebi, this person. When he says jump, they jump. He builds a crazy, tall, skinny statue and asks you to worship it. They take off their hats and kiss its feet and shout, "All glory to you, golden statue of King Nebi." They were all in. They worshiped this man as a god. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all in, not for a broken, egotistical king, but for the Lord God. The king, with all of his power, with all of his strength, could not control these three young men's loyalty and commitment to the God of love. And he can take everything else, but he could not take their loyalty and commitment to God. So while the king may have bound them, their liberation, their freedom was already theirs to have even before they were thrown into the furnace. Now, because this is not about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego being found faithful, being saved from the fire because of their works, but their willingness to stay faithful to the values of the Lord God, even to the point of death. They make their stand against the gods, the king's nonsense, before they know they will be saved from the fire. And this is what makes meaning of this terrifying tale. That when we deny the powers of this world, the forces that demand our worship to satisfy their ego, when we deny their ability to control who we are and what we stand for, and I pray that as mainline Christians in this community, we will seek to affirm the values of Christ. The Christ who stood beside the poor and the marginalized, who never returned evil for evil, who restored dignity of those suffering around him, who never allowed the powerful to control him, showing the world the way of grace, love, and humility. May we be all in on this way of life. May we commit our time, our energy, our gifts to work in this community. And do it with a willingness to sacrifice. Sacrifice our comfort. Sacrifice our insatiable desires for more stuff and more control. Knowing that the sacrifice that we give to God on behalf of the Lord God, the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that sacrifice will be vindicated, just as it was for those men. So I ask you, this week as we begin our new stewardship campaign, where are you all in your life? And is it time to change allegiances and find a new way to be all in on the Lord our God, who has shown us incredible grace, love, and mercy, and called us to act accordingly? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.